Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
The Riot Show coming back at you this week with the latest and greatest, both serious and funny. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
Interesting week that just passed. A lot of things we can talk about. But the first thing I want to touch on this week, let's get right into it. How terrified are you that you're going to be shitting blood pretty soon?
I'm going to be shitting blood.
Yeah.
That sounds like every Saturday night.
Are you excited by the prospect of this?
I'm waking up Sunday mornings with my usual red poop that I...
Not knowing where it came from, right?
Okay. Is this your your lead into the scare that is going?
Yes. Gay ass rape is what I'm leading in here.
Oh, I thought it was Ebola.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. Anyway, yes, Ebola, Judo Larry. Ebola... That horrible disease that we were all learned and that we all learned about and taught to fear has hit the shores of America courtesy of liberal dogma.
Liberal dogma.
Yeah. So there's a, you know, we heard about this. There's a patient in Texas,
guy in Dallas,
who has been quarantined now for having Ebola.
Right.
And what's interesting about this case is that Ebola, let's back up half a step. Ebola is a non-airborne, highly contagious bacteria. And basically, it causes you to die in the most horrible way. Basically, your insides start to leak out of your body. Right. Your eyeballs, your everything. It's coming out of your ass, your mouth, your ears, your eyes, everything. It's just a horrible way to die. You basically liquefy, from what I understand.
Yeah, you just have total breakdown and just, just literally, like you said, you just like slide apart.
It's a miserable way to die. Not that there's nice ways to die, but I guess some are more miserable than others.
In your sleep is okay.
Yeah, in your sleep. Getting laid, standing up and defending Sparta, you know, or something. You know, there's good ways to die. But Ebola ain't one of them. So anyway, so Ebola is this contagious disease that there's been outbreaks mainly in Africa. Like, I know Uganda had a couple of outbreaks a couple of years ago. They seem to have gotten that under control. But right now, we're seeing, like, a lot of outbreaks. It's really a health concern in Western Africa. Liberia seems to be one of the epicenters of this.
Yeah, the Center for Disease Control picked Liberia.
Right.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, what's interesting here is that purely from a medical perspective, if you're worried about Ebola coming into your country... What's the first thing you would do, Judo Larian?
I would find the countries that I think it's coming from, and then either stop flights from that country.
Right.
I would check very carefully the people who recently came into our country from that country.
Right.
And make sure that nobody's flying into the country who may have it, and anybody who just came in recently has to be checked.
Right. So basically what you've described is a quarantine.
Essentially,
Where you're saying, like, look, we know where this disease exists. We know it's contagious. Let's see if we can isolate that region, right? And that happens. That's like standard quarantining. It's not anything that is political. It's medically what you would do.
Right.
But for some reason, Judo Larium, and we know what the reason is, we can't do that.
Because it's racial profile?
It could be. It sounds goofy, but it could be, right? Because we know that only a certain type of people come from Liberia and Western Africa for the most part. And we don't want to appear cruel. We don't want to appear callous. So we still let people fly in and out of this country who have recently been in Liberia.
Right.
So in this particular case, I think the background here is this dude knew he had Ebola.
Right.
And basically he hopped in a plane because he knew if he stayed in Liberia with Ebola, he'd be dead. So he wanted a chance to get some treatment. So he flew himself to the U.S. Now, what's interesting here is not only did we let someone whose passport clearly stated he had been in Liberia during this outbreak, what's interesting is the guy basically checked himself into a hospital as soon as he got here, and he said, I have Ebola.
Right. He went straight to a hospital and gave it up. But
guess what the hospital did? They turned him away. They sent him home the first time. So, and then when he started showing symptoms, like literally like vomiting out his window, that's when he went to the hospital and they took him seriously. So now he's in the hospital, and it's amazing to me, like, look, I'm not an Alex Jones guy. You know that. I don't believe in conspiracies.
Yeah, we don't do conspiracies.
We don't believe in conspiracies. But the one thing I do believe in, Chudalariam, is the utter incompetence of the government. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I believe in utter incompetence, and then I believe in the fact that they try to cover up, not conspire, but cover up their incompetence.
Do we know why the hospital didn't take him seriously?
Not really. I just know, I think I read that they just turned him away initially, whether they thought he was a kook, whether he wasn't displaying any outward symptomology. You know, I don't know. But they sent him away. But to me, if a guy says, I've been in Liberia, I think I have Ebola, even if he's nuts, you check him out. You draw some blood. You run the tests. You don't just say, well, he's not shitting blood and I don't see cum coming out of his eyeballs, therefore I'm sending him home. Do you know what I mean?
Who gets to do this?
Do what?
Take blood from him.
The hospital.
I know, like doctor, nurse. I mean,
hey, yeah, doctor, nurse, microbiologist. You know,
Is it dangerous to touch this person?
You put on your gloves, you put on your mask. You know, you use equipment that's throwaway and sterilized. You know, there's procedures for this.
Okay.
But you're right; it's not safe. You know, in the sense that if you don't know what you're doing, you might get infected. Of course, but you know, there's procedures for this. Like my wife's a microbiologist; she's worked with these kind of organisms in the past, you know, so am I worried? You know, I'm always worried that something might happen where she gets exposed, you know, but the truth of the matter is we need people who know what they're doing to do this kind of work, right? So anyway, so they sent him home. And now what's interesting is the way that this entire fuck up has been reported out to the people, right? So initially you heard, he probably doesn't have Ebola. Right? That was like the first news you got, right?
Right.
Then they said, well, he does have Ebola, but really, Ebola is not airborne. It's not an airborne disease. It's not like the flu. So you really don't have to worry. Unless you, like, this guy had sex with you or shit in your mouth, you don't have to worry about it.
Shit in your mouth?
Well, you know what it is. It's like shit and piss is one of those conditions that spreads the disease. That's why it spreads faster in poor countries where they have poor sanitation, you know, where people like literally are shitting upstream of their house, you know,
no,
things
I,
like
I
that.
Understand.
So, but I mean, it was supposed to be a joke, but the point is, it's bodily fluids that transmit the disease.
Yeah, but it's, you know, shit in your mouth, that's a big part of my sex life.
So, I'm sorry.
So I'm going to have to cut that out.
So,
now.
Or at least ask the guy if he's ever been to Liberia before he shits in
you know
mouth.
What? If you make a German scheisse movie, all you have to do, right when you see that coming out, you just go, hey, you don't have Ebola, do you?
Can you sign this affidavit, please? But the thing is, they put him in the hospital. They said he hadn't had too much contact, right? Then a day goes by and they said, well, we think maybe 5 to 10 people had some contact with him. The guys in the ambulance, the people at the hospital. So, you know, now what's interesting is if you follow this, you have to understand something. They're claiming that because it's not airborne, you don't have to be worried. But if that's the case, why disinfect the ambulance? No. Why test people who didn't come into, you know, bodily contact with them?
Right.
Right. So you have to understand that just because something isn't airborne, it doesn't mean that it's less dangerous. And now, after all is said and done, they're saying they're monitoring over 100 people who came into contact with this guy for
right.
Ebola.
Right.
And that's how this shit starts. By the way, for all you liberals out there telling me not to panic, for all you non-biologists, for all you non-doctors telling me not to panic, by the way, Judalarian, Big Fat John used to be a biologist. You know that.
Yes.
So I cracked open all my old micro textbooks. Guess what? It is dangerous. It does spread. Can I remind you, Judalarian, of another disease that was very deadly that was not airborne?
AIDS.
AIDS.
Yeah.
AIDS is not an airborne disease.
Not at
like
all.
Someone couldn't breathe on you and give you AIDS. Someone couldn't sneeze on you necessarily and give you AIDS. AIDS, as a matter of fact, in the 80s, when they first hit our shores, the only way it was transmitted was by one very rare, relatively rare occurrence, Judalarian.
The cock.
By ass slamming. Yeah. You know, like, if you think about it, if someone told you, let's be, if we could just put the joke aside for a second. Okay. If someone walked up to you and said, listen, there's this horrible disease that kills people and you suffer horribly, right? But the only way you can get it is by having anal sex, right? That's the only way you can have it, which initially, that was the only way you got it. Right. The, in the 80s, something like 96, 97% of AIDS cases were all related to anal sex.
They were related to homosexual sex.
Homosexual mainly, but also just anal sex in general, right? Yeah. So if someone told you that, Judolarium, without being a scientist, what would you say? Would it be easy to spread, kind of tough to spread? What would you say?
Well, I would say it's tough to spread, but unless you can't control yourself and you continue to take it in the ass, then you're in a lot of trouble.
Right. But initially, your intuition would be, well, if it's only spread through anal sex, how bad can it be?
Right.
Right? But look how big AIDS was of a problem, even with that limited mode of transmission, is what I'm trying to get at.
Oh, sure. I mean, and the mistake they're making is just because it's not airborne.
Right.
That doesn't mean it can't be transmitted. It doesn't mean it's not dangerous. It just means the...
It's a little bit difficult. That's all.
It's more difficult, but I think the idea of airborne, just like I think the idea of it, just like that you could breathe it in or something, I think that's just very scary to some people.
Right.
But it doesn't make it any less dangerous.
Right. And here's where I think our government, like most governments, fall short. It's not that I think there's a conspiracy to import Ebola into the country. I don't think there's a conspiracy to thin out, like, the black population by giving it Ebola.
No?
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I am saying is that the government, instead of saying, look, Ebola's a problem, if the CDC was doing its job, the CDC, not Washington, the Centers for Disease Control, if they were doing the right medical thing, this is what they would say. We demanded immediate quarantine on all travelers in and out of Liberia, Uganda, or whatever nation has an Ebola outbreak. If we spot a case, we will treat them. We will be humanitarian and treat these people. But we have to know what we're dealing with.
Now we have to stop people from coming into the country.
Exactly.
They may have it as well.
That's the quarantine part. So now, instead of saying that, the CDC is left in this bullshit position of saying, look, we don't think it's Ebola. Okay, it's Ebola, but it's not bad. Okay, Ebola, maybe 100 people exposed, but it's not bad because it's not airborne. Instead of constantly putting out this bullshit, why don't you say what it is? Ebola is a contagious disease. It's transmitted through bodily fluids and unsanitary conditions. And let's be serious about who we let into the country.
I think a lot of that stems from, I think when they're dealing with these things, there's always a certain amount of people who always say, well, we don't want to start a panic.
Yes.
And I think the panic argument tends to win out.
Yeah.
And I think then it becomes a, let's just give out certain information. We're going to point out that it's just one guy in the Dallas area and, you know, almost like the old police, you know, there's nothing to see here kind of thing.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And like shoo it aside and try to make everybody feel calm that they have it under control.
Right. And, you know, in an age perhaps when there wasn't the internet, which provides such instant information, which is both a blessing and a curse, let's be honest, to people. In the days before social media, before cell phones and stuff, that might have worked. Like in the 50s, the old, like you said, the old there's nothing to see here, move along, may have worked then. Now, you have to understand that times change. You have to adapt to new times, right? So it takes some, you and I could go on the internet, go on some credible websites, and understand what Ebola is. We could research it. And we could say, look, this is what Ebola does. This is how it's transmitted. I don't need the fucking CDC to tell me that. What I need the CDC to do in this particular case is make the recommendation of how to keep Ebola from spreading in this country. That's what we need the CDC to do. That's what I need Obama to do. You see what I'm saying? That's what I need Homeland Security to do. Now, if you think about it, these ISIS motherfuckers could start importing all these Ebola patients without telling anybody.
Yeah.
They could start routing these guys through countries where Ebola is not an issue. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about it, what's to keep ISIS from grabbing 10 Ebola carriers, secretly shipping them to Europe, and then having them come to the U.S. from London, say?
Right.
So it doesn't show up on their passports that they came from Liberia. And the next thing you go, these guys are out banging broads and whatever, and they're spreading Ebola before anybody knows it.
Right.
You know, and if you think about it, what happens if someone comes through JFK, for example, in New York with Ebola? Or LAX in California? I mean, massively populated and trafficked airports, Judo Lariam.
Yeah, no, that is really terrifying, because that's that whole issue of how some of the Westerners have gone to help ISIS by flying here to London, right, then they go to Honolulu, then they go here, and then they make their way to the Middle East, and it makes it hard to track them and to know where they came from.
Right. This isn't conspiracy necessarily.
No, not at all.
Do you know what I mean? It's a potential avenue, A, for public health concerns, and B, for terrorism concerns.
I think we can give Ebola to ISIS?
No, because remember, they don't bang strippers. No. Like, if we could send some hot hoes over there with Ebola, baby.
Oh, that's right, because of the way they perceive, their view of the world. There goes my HIV plan, too. There'll be no anal sex on ISIS.
Sending them the HIV, huh? But, you know, as I was looking over this situation during the week, Judah Larim, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of what we were talking about with some liberals who refused to acknowledge that the guy in Texas had just converted, who beheaded that woman, not Texas, in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Who beheaded that woman had just converted to Islam. Right? They never mentioned that. They called it workplace violence.
Yeah.
Because they, why?
They wanted to emphasize that he got fired from his job. They didn't want to emphasize the fact that here's a guy who literally was showing up at his job.
Right.
He wasn't doing any work at all. He spent like the whole day, they said, just trying to recruit people.
Right. Recruit and convert people to Islam. So why did we talk about why do liberals do that? Because they're afraid that if they admit that fact, that people automatically are going to go out in the streets and lynch Muslims.
Yeah, they always feel that they have to be defensive of it and cover it up, because they think that if not, they're really adding to like racism and hate, and it's going to cause ugliness. It's amazing how little faith they have in people.
Well, that's always the argument that deep down, why liberals and big government statists are so against free markets, free choice, and things like that, is because they're afraid of the choices people will make when they're given the opportunity to make those free choices, you know? Like, liberals seem to be of the opinion, like, we would tolerate the free market if the free market did what we wanted.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, but it's more of the just the snobby, like, condescending,
right,
that we know better than you.
Exactly.
And if we were to give you this information, you know, you might go and do something really stupid with it. So, you know what?
The paternalism.
Yeah, you're right. We'll take care of it. You know, it's okay for us to know, because we're good people, and you know, we're not going to hate people, and we can take it in the context with which it's given.
We the anointed.
If we give it to you, you might go, you know, all you plebeians might do something stupid with it.
The one thing I hate most in my life is someone who thinks I'm incapable of living my own life and making my own decisions.
Yeah.
That I can't go through life without being some fucking animal that needs to rob, pillage, plunder, steal, stick it in the ass of my neighbor.
But especially hating people.
I mean, and hating people.
That's the stupidest thing. Like, obviously, people can just take it the way it's given to them. Just like, look, all right, so look, he's an African-American guy. He converted to Islam. He did this horrible thing. Fine.
It doesn't mean my Muslim.
I'm not going to go out and hate African Americans. I'm not going to hate Muslims. I'm not going to think. Well, I don't have a very high opinion, to be honest, of Islam, but in the first place. But it's not going to. Look, I can tell you now for myself, I'm not going to go out and hurt anybody.
Of course.
You know, I understand what the situation is. I mean, they should give people a little more credit.
Right.
They have so little faith in people.
Exactly. Thank you. They have no faith in their fellow man. That seems to be the case. So when you look at these situations, when you look at the thing in Oklahoma, when you look at the situation with Ebola being essentially sourced and originating from Western African countries, what's the first thing liberals think of? In the Oklahoma case, oh shit, if we admit he's Muslim, we're going to have anti-Muslim bias. We're going to have anti-Muslim bias. We can't have that shit, so let's not even report it, you know?
And he's black.
Right. And with Ebola, they're like, well, if we say that we have to stop West Africans from coming into the country, first of all, that's profiling against West Africans, and B, then people might think that every West African in the U.S. has Ebola.
Yeah.
No, you dumb fuck. If my neighbor is Muslim or Liberian and I've known them for 5-10 years, why would my opinion all of a sudden change? I've either hated them all along or I've loved them all along. You know what I mean? It's not going to change because some asshole 20 states away has committed a crime. It's not going to change because all of a sudden there was an Ebola outbreak in Liberia. My neighbor hasn't been to fucking Liberia. Okay? We're not idiots. Most of us aren't idiots. But the point is, from a liberal's point of view, if there's a racist out there, if there's a hater out there, you saying or not saying the news, it's not going to change that guy's mind.
Exactly.
That guy's a racist. He's a racist, period. You're not going to change his mind.
And you're not adding to the numbers by keeping the information to yourself.
Thank you.
That's another one of their big things. They really think that if they're out there and just, you know, oh, look,
right,
he's a black guy, convert this, it's going to just be, yeah, everyone's just going to go, oh, my God.
They think they'll create new racists.
Exactly. They think they're adding to the numbers. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
If someone's racist, they're racist. Your mass media campaign isn't going to change them. You know what changes the mind of racists? Personal interactions with the people they hate.
Absolutely.
That's what changes the minds of racists.
Absolutely.
Okay? It's not going to be some MSNBC or Fox or CNN.
Some talking head.
It's not going to be that. Right. You know what changes the mind of someone who's a racist? If you're a black racist, you know what changes your mind? The white person that lends you a hand when you're down. If you're some racist cracker in the South, you know what changes your mind? The black doctor who saves your kid's life.
Yeah.
Okay?
But you've been just interacting with people in general.
Right. It's whenever those personal interactions. Yeah.
When you get to meet people and you're just one-on-one with them, you know, this is one of the reasons, like, if you remember back when we argued about the draft, that you said right. You didn't like the draft.
I don't.
And I said that I do. And, like, here's one of the things for it. You know, when they take you and they put you in the military and they shave your head and they put you in and they start telling you you're scum and all that, they break you down, you realize that you can only count on the guy next to you.
Right.
And whether he's white, black, whatever, it just doesn't matter.
Right.
And it's those interactions, it's just being with people one-on-one. That's what does it. Let me tell you, some speeches and high-minded, you know, and keeping information from people because you're afraid that you're creating ugliness, that has nothing to do with it.
That's bullshit.
It's all crap.
That's bullshit. You're absolutely right. And free exchange and free interactions and free association, that's what's going to do it, you know? And if someone's a racist and you can't get to them and no amount of, like, exposure to other races, cultures, and ideas changes their mind, guess what? You can't build your whole program around that person. You can't assume that the entire country is that person. You're doing yourself and the people who aren't that way a huge disservice.
Yeah, you're telling them you don't trust them.
You know, like that would be like trying to teach astrophysics to, you know, to a preschooler. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just not going to sink in. No matter how much you want it to sink in, it's not going to sink in.
Right.
They're incapable. But if you start talking about astrophysics, the people who understand it, the people who want to learn about it are going to flock to you. They'll buy into your message. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, you can't assume that because you're telling me that what Ebola is, that what am I going to do, go out and club Liberians over the head in New York City? The fuck?
I wouldn't even know who's West African. I mean, what would you do? If we left the studio right now, say, all right, we're going to go find some West African.
Let's go Liberian hunting. First of all, where the fuck is Liberia in Africa? I have no idea. What was the old name of Liberia? Does anybody know?
No, Liberia was, well, that's the country that we created that after the Civil War.
Right.
That there a lot of slaves went back to Africa.
Repatriation,
yeah,
right.
That was a country that we kind of created. It's very much on the western, you know, that the shape of Africa, it's
yeah.
right underneath where that big chunk, and then it comes down like this.
Right, right.
It's right in there.
Below the hip.
Yes.
Because all those lines you just drew with your hands, Judalarium, yeah. no one can see them.
I know. That was
no one can see them on the podcast.
Yes, I know. That was for your benefit, John.
Yeah. So, but again, like...
Get yourself a map.
Get edumacated, for God's sake.
Go to that riot show right now and watch my hand-drawing countries.
But yeah, so that's what we would need to say about it. It's like you don't have to hide the truth necessarily from people because you're afraid of causing a panic. Be educated with people. Be straight with people, for God's sake. You know, for something like Ebola, education can only help. It can't hurt. You know what I mean? It's like, remember those old commercials in the 80s, Judalarium, when they were doing those AIDS awareness commercials? And they would always show you that picture where there was this guy dying of AIDS and people were afraid to touch him. And like the one guy goes to shake his hand.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be a tender moment because it said you can't catch AIDS by shaking hands. You know, there was a PSA right. like that, right?
Right?
That did more to humanize that disease than anything else they did. Do
sure.
you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
It put people at ease that, like, really, unless we engage in very specific activities, like we said before, like butt slamming, right? You're not going to catch AIDS. Right? Shaking an AIDS patient's hand or giving him a helping hand literally and metaphorically, is not going to give you AIDS, right? No. Same thing with Ebola. Like, let's
now
understand.
It would if what? You shook his hand, then went down his pants, grabbed it, reached inside his crack, and went,
oh,
yes.
More miming. He just wiped his hand on his face.
We're out of control here. Yeah, this is what disease does to your mind.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So we have that on Ebola. Judo Lariam, the other thing I wanted to touch on, the next thing I want to touch on is, let's go back to the NFL for a second. So we know that in recent weeks, the NFL has had some let's face it, they've had some shitty things come to light. Let's be honest.
A lousy couple of weeks.
Right. We had the Adrian Peterson beating like anywhere between 1 to 1,000 kids, from what I understand.
Ray Rice.
We had Ray Rice beating his wife in the elevator. We had Ray McDonald getting arrested on domestic abuse charges. We have Greg Hardy that we talked about. They finally caught up to his case again, some domestic abuse. He's been suspended for the year. So the NFL has had an image problem, and it hasn't been helped by Commissioner Goodell. Like, even when he had his press conference, it looked very robotic, very uncaring, very like scatterbrained. It didn't put anyone's mind at ease. Not to mention all the drug issues they've had with Josh Gordon and Wes Welker and Matt Prater and all these guys who got suspended for PEDs and things like that. But on top of all that, recently there was the claim by feminist twat Gloria Allred, who said on the behalf of a client that a client of hers was raped by an NFL player, you know, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, right?
Right.
And that she brought the news to the NFL, and the NFL allowed the player to take the field, that they did not immediately suspend that player.
So he took the field and then
he played. He hasn't been suspended yet.
He took the field and then he took the field.
Is that what you're saying? He took the puffy, man.
And you gotta give it up.
Oh, Larry, you're engaging in male rape culture right now.
Now who's doing the hand gestures?
But anyway, the point is, she made this accusation and then she leaked it to the press. She wouldn't name the football player and she wouldn't name the team he's on, but she did say there is a football player who allegedly raped my client, and the NFL did nothing about it. We made them aware of it, and they let him take the field. Judah Lyram, what do you think of that?
Well, like anything else, at this point, it's just an accusation. So we have to have some more specifics. We have to know who she says attacked her. We have to be able to investigate it.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, look, if that's true and the NFL knew it and they let this guy play anyway,
right.
I don't know who's making the decisions these days.
Right.
I mean, that is a serious matter.
Right.
It's the polar opposite of the silliness that has gone on locally here in New York this week, that Prince Amukamara, the Giants corner,
right.
Saved himself for marriage,
right.
A la Tim Tebow.
A very devout Christian.
Yes, and he married...
He
got married to Pilar Davis, and that Antrell Roll and some of the other Giants said the reason he's playing better now is because he finally got some. But, like, you have that going on in the NFL, which is kind of stupid. Like, silly stupid. And then you've got this going on, that this is, look, I think that if you're going to say that something this serious happened,
right,
you got to put it out. You got to say, look, this is who did it. This is where it happened. You know,
right.
I don't want to, I don't want to make light of it because rape is so horrible. But I've always noticed there always seems to be a delay. I don't know if the women are I don't know if they're traumatized or shocked. I want to be sensitive to that.
Right.
I don't really get, I remember even when Roethlisberger got in trouble, there was a very long delay before the women came forward.
Right.
Look, in my opinion, put it out there. Say what happened. Describe it.
Right.
Don't put it off.
Right. Well, what's interesting about this whole situation that I find troubling, and again, this is going to sound like we're supportive of the players or the rape. We're not. We're supportive of the criminal justice system, is what it comes down
absolutely.
To, right? So here's the thing. At the time that the NFL announced these immediate suspensions, that their new policy would be like even a hint of domestic abuse or sexual assault or whatever, that there would be immediate suspensions with pay. One of the troubling aspects of that, to me, and I wrote about it in the column, is that all it takes now is the accusation of abuse. All it takes is the accusation of rape or sexual misconduct that will get a player suspended. So what you're setting up, especially for some of these young college players, is for some woman to like, after he signs his contract, to just make the accusation, he raped me. He smacked me around, whatever the case may be. And you could see where this sets up a whole lot of blackmail, Larry.
Oh, absolutely.
Where all of a sudden the woman says, if you don't give me $100K, now that you signed your multi-million contract, I'm going to go out there and say you slapped me around. I'm going to say you had sex with me against my will. And if nothing else, it's going to get you suspended while the process plays out. Do you know what I mean? You're setting up a very easy blackmail environment for these players. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm pro-player in this situation, because we all know that you know, we don't want sexual abuse. We don't want domestic abuse. None of that is what we want. But look at here. Gloria Allred, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, with my speculation, do you like the way I'm disclaiming all these things, Jude O'Larian?
You are phrasing.
Because Gloria Allred is a twat, but she's a lawyer.
That's right, and we don't want her.
Right. My understanding of all this, from what has been presented, this is very similar, very, very similar to blackmail. She's going out in the airwaves and saying, we have an alleged rape with a player who shall remain nameless, who plays for a team that shall remain nameless, that we notified the NFL about, and they did nothing about it. What she's doing is she's setting herself up for a payday. For herself and her client.
It could be.
Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because now, what are you trying to get the NFL to do in this case? You're trying to get the NFL to take action. Now, look, I don't know if the woman was raped or not by a player. I don't know. None of us really know. There's been no jury. There's been no trial. But that's what I'm afraid of, Larry. Not just for the NFL, but for anything, right? Because right. Now, the mere accusation means you lose your income. You lose your station. You lose the ability to take the field with your teammates. Now, if you're a goddamn rapist, you should be behind bars.
Absolutely.
I don't care if you're Adrian Peterson. I don't care. Not that he's a rapist, but I don't care what player you are or who you are. If you're violating the law, you should be in jail, not on a football field. That goes without saying. But why are we bypassing the legal process, Jude O'Larian? That's the part I don't understand.
Yeah, I have to agree with you to the extent that I don't like the way she approaches it. You know, it's kind of like the way Al Sharpton does things. There's a lot of threats. There's a lot of accusations. You know, you have to put your proof out there. You have to give something substantive. And, you know, I don't know what the league's going to do now. I mean, it's almost like Goodell wakes up every day and he's got like another
catastrophe. He's got a new problem, yeah. You see, that's the thing. Like, do you think Gloria Allred would have hit the airwaves with this story if the player, whoever she alleges did this, had paid her client $100K to shut up? Do you think she would have hit the airwaves?
Not at all.
Right. I don't know for sure. I'm speculating that she probably wouldn't have brought the case out, right? And just because a Gloria Allred or any activist like Gloria Allred decides to make a case out of it doesn't mean the person they're accusing is automatically guilty.
That's right.
Right? It's not like...
And we don't even know who that is.
And we don't know who it is. So why is she going public with this? What? There's no legal reason for her to go public with this.
No,
it's a PR stunt.
It's pressure.
It's a PR stunt, right. It's pressure.
It's
public.
Pressure.
It's public opinion, right? She figures the NFL is reeling. The NFL is on its heels. Let's see if we can hit them up for a payday while they're still staggering.
It's pressure in the court of public approval.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, obviously, you know, the NFL is the number one sport in this country. It's extremely popular. It could hurt you with advertisers.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons to do that.
Right.
And I have to agree with you. If when you approach things that way, I think it hurts your credibility.
Of course.
It might help you, you know, with what you're trying to accomplish, but
right.
I think it hurts your credibility. I mean, just put it out there. Just say, look, it was whoever on whatever team.
Right. And, so the question I have, if this
here's where it happened.
Right. Right.
Give the circumstances and be upfront.
Right. And honestly, the problem I have with it is, if Gloria Allred and whoever she's representing really feels that they were sexually assaulted or raped, why aren't the police involved? Why isn't some NFL player being dragged to court? Was there an NFL player arrested? Right? I don't understand. If she feels she has all this evidence that this guy raped her client, why aren't the cops involved? Why wasn't this guy arrested? Isn't that what the police are for? All you liberals out there that keep crying about, you know, not taking the law in your own hands, and we don't want guns in people's hands. We call the police when there's trouble. Like, what the fuck? Isn't this the case that all of us should be saying, we're the cops?
Yeah. And doesn't his DNA now reside inside
right, but
this
woman? But that's like, what I'm trying to get at. Like,
go in, let it be investigated. What are you going to the Goodell for?
Or did she already go to the cops and they told her you don't have a case? There's no evidence. It's he said, she said. Maybe, speculating, maybe that's what happened, and she figures the only way she could score a payday is by going after the NFL, like you said, in the court of public opinion.
Or maybe, as a possibility, maybe it did happen, and she went to the police, but they said, look, this is hard to prove, or you don't have a case.
Exactly,
or something.
Yeah.
And she figured, well, I still want to get some measure of justice, so we'll approach it this way.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of reasons.
There's a lot of possibilities here.
So. But all of them involve some sort of blackmail.
Yeah.
This is what it comes down to.
They do eventually come down to a lot of cash changing hands here.
Right. So that's why, to be honest with you, and again, you know, it's tough because I don't want to say that I support guys like Ray Rice. I don't want to support
not at all.
Guys like Adrian Peterson necessarily, no. Right?
Greg
Hardy, right? Or Roethlisberger, whoever. Like, in other words, I don't believe the NFL has the right to sweep it under the rug. But you have to ask yourself, if there's no legal or criminal ramifications, what's the NFL doing? Like, the Ray Rice thing, now we find out it's not as clear-cut as we thought. I mean, the fact that he punched her in the elevator is clear cut. That's on tape.
Well, that's pretty obvious.
That's on tape, bro. Yeah. But what I'm saying is the other things that happened around it, you know, like, for example, his wife says, leave us alone.
Right.
I'm not pressing charges.
Well, the NFL is still dealing with the fact that
they gave him
said that the head of security was given
right.
the inside of the elevator stuff, even though you could figure out right. what happened when you saw the original footage right. with him dragging her out.
Right. It's the old cover-up thing. Yeah. So, it's the old cover-up.
You know, so they got to work on this, the NFL. Seriously, their image is
right.
got to be just shit. Like, I'm like, you know.
But Larry, it's not just the image, man. It's like now they're setting themselves up that they have to be almost like a court system among themselves. You know what I mean?
No, I know.
It's like, to me, and again, I would love to tell you.
They care about their image.
Yeah, I would love to tell you that I have the answer for this shit, that I'm some sort of genius or Socrates and I figured this shit out. But I haven't. Like, on the one hand, like, you as a private employer, meaning the NFL, you have the right to say, this is the type of person I want working for me, right? And if I think someone's a savage animal that beats his kids or beats his wife, I don't want them working for me. You know what I mean? I think as an employer, you should have that right.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, if you're claiming that you're basing your decisions on some sort of justice, right?
Right.
Then why wouldn't you let the justice system play itself out? Why wouldn't you say... Well, like, you know who's doing it the right way? The 49ers with Ray McDonald. Ray McDonald was arrested on domestic abuse charges. The case is still pending. The 49ers have said, we're going to let the legal process play out. Basically, if he gets indicted, if he gets convicted, he's out. But until then, he's innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So he's still on the field for the 49ers.
Right.
Greg Hardy, who actually was found guilty and is now awaiting a trial by jury instead of a bench decision, which is his right. That's his legal right. But to me, the Panthers are correct in suspending him because they have a guilty verdict. Now they're waiting for the appeal, so to speak. All right. Just to make it simple. So in that case, I think the Panthers are perfectly justified in saying we don't want this guy playing for us. We have a guilty verdict. We don't need anything else. The Adrian Peterson situation, again, his thing is being played out, right? So is he going to get found guilty? You know what? But at the same time, since he admits to beating his kids with those, what are they called, switches or whatever?
Switches, yeah.
Like, I could see where the Vikings said, we don't want that shit on our team. The guy's admitting to it. We don't have to wait for the court of law.
Yeah.
The guy told us he did it.
Yeah.
So I can understand. But as a policy... Don't forget, those are team decisions, right? The Vikings decided to get rid of Peterson. The Panthers got rid of Hardy on their own. The 49ers are keeping McDonald on their own. Those aren't NFL decisions. The only NFL decision here was the Ray Rice decision, where they suspended him from the league indefinitely.
Right.
Okay? Is that the better way to do it? Team by team judolarium? Unless the guy gets convicted, then the NFL steps in? Maybe that's the solution. I don't know.
There's no easy solution.
It's not I'll be the first to admit it's not easy.
Because you know what it is? It's not just a private organization, or it's, well, they're not completely private, but it's not just that. It's because of its popularity and how well known it is and how much face time it gets and how many shows there are with the NFL. I mean, it's not like a regular company that some no-name company.
Right.
If you heard somebody did this, if some guy beat his kid with a switch, you might be like, yeah, all right, so what?
Right.
You know, it's because of who they are and what they represent. And, you know,
it's tough.
I mean,
it's tough.
You know, there's a problem. We talked about it before, even when we were talking about Ferguson. There is a bit of a problem with you know, our young black men and violence. And it seems to be, you know, there's a lot of trouble out there. And I don't know what the easy solution to this is. I do think, I'm usually not a big transparency whiner like liberals are, but that might actually be working here. Because I don't get the feeling Goodell has been completely straight about these
things. No. I think Goodell, look, his job as commissioner, as he always is fond of saying, is to protect the shield. You know, the NFL beating. Yeah. And, you know, bottom line, he only cares about what increases revenue for the owners. Goodell is an employee of the owners. People don't realize that. It's not an independent position. It's not some.
No, right.
It's not that he got hired by the government or some shit. The 32 owners voted and said,
this is our commissioner.
This is our commissioner. The guy has a contract. He gets paid a very good salary to be the commissioner, right? So his main job is not to be like, justice, you know, let's be honest, that's not his main job. His main job is, how do I keep increasing revenue for the league?
Right.
He's like the CEO.
How do I keep up its profile for my shareholders?
Right. And if and if having a nice profile, a clean profile, is good for business, that's what he's interested in. Believe me, if profits quadrupled as the result of Ray Rice beating his wife, you'd see a much more tolerant position towards wife beating. I guarantee it.
The only thing that I've noticed that the franchises do in a couple of cases, which I think is probably a good idea, they'll buy back your jerseys.
Oh.
There's a lot of people.
You mean if there's a jersey of a wife beater, like Ray Rice or something?
Aaron Hernandez, all the jerseys get back, and they like gave them money, or they gave them another jersey for it. Then they did the same thing with Ray Rice.
Right, because like, they want to have good. That's good, just PR. That's just good PR.
I know, but I was going to say, that's about the only thing that's made sense to me. So everything else sounds like a cover-up or an issue.
But you know what's interesting is, and again, as free marketeers, you know, this is something that eats at both of us, I think. You mentioned that the NFL really isn't a private business. It's not really a free market type of organization. The NFL is very, very tied into crony capitalism with its government.
And
for before all of you assholes out there jump up who are liberals and say, see, that's why capitalism sucks, man. No, that's why the government sucks. The government is what gives the NFL its not-for-profit status. As goofy as that sounds, Larry, the NFL is a not-for-profit organization for tax purposes.
Yeah.
For the government has given the NFL an exemption from the Sherman Antitrust Act.
Right.
All right? Which means owners can collude. Okay? These are not free market ideals. This is the government stepping in to give a very profitable organization some loopholes. Okay? And that's why the NFL really isn't a private organization. Larry, you're right. You know, if the NFL was a private organization, as long as someone isn't getting convicted for breaking the law, fuck it. They can do whatever they want.
Exactly.
But they can't. Do you know why? Because they are beholden to the government. Yeah. For example, just to continue the thought, the FCC has now stated that they're considering fining stations that use the word Redskins in describing the game. They're thinking of finding announcers and stations that use the word Redskins because someone filed. And by the way, we've said this before with the FCC, all it takes is one person to complain.
Right.
One complaint means the FCC has to investigate it. So they're now investigating the possibility of fining stations and teams for using the word Redskins as being something derogatory that shouldn't be on TV. And they use this as pressure to get Daniel Snyder to change the name of the team. Now, there's all sort of fucked up with this situation. You know, nothing is good about this situation. First of all, who the fuck is the FCC and why do we have one? I'm trying to understand that doesn't the First Amendment guarantee freedom of speech? Why the fuck is the FCC telling anybody what to say?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, even the TV stations all have standards.
No, I understand that. But if they want to have standards on their own, that's their business. Right. But what I'm saying is, why is the FCC deciding whether Redskins is a slur or not? Go fuck yourself, FCC. I don't understand why. The FCC should stick to what it was meant to do. Assign and sell broadband spectrum licenses. That's what it does. Okay? It's not here to tell me whether I should see Janet Jackson's nipple or whether Redskins is a curse or not. So step one, fuck the FCC. Two, why is the NFL so tied in with the government?
Yeah, no. That's,
why?
That's a good point. I mean, right? Like a few weeks ago, I actually referred to the NFL as a private organization. You corrected me and pointed out that, because I wasn't aware that they're so tied into the government like that.
Exactly.
And that's a problem. And the FCC thing, you know, this sounds to me like the same problem with the IRS.
Right.
There's like an organization that's just supposed to be like processing tax returns and dealing out like refunds. And they're crazy power.
Right.
They can do all kinds of shit that are way beyond their charter or anything they're supposed to do. And the FCC is the same thing. What are they doing, for God's
right.
sake?
Why are they censoring? I don't understand. Anyway, so beyond the FCC issue and the Redskins issue, now Congress is getting involved. Because you have some activist liberal congressmen, they're saying, unless the Redskins change their name, we're going to take away the not-for-profit status of the NFL. That's working its way through Congress. And again, there's all sorts of bullshit tied into that. First of all, the NFL shouldn't have a not-for-profit status. Why? They make billions of dollars a year. Why do they have a not? I agree that maybe their charity, NFL charity, should have not-for-profit status, right? The guys who give away to UNICEF
charity.
And stuff like that, because they're charitable.
It's a charity.
But what about the billions of dollars that go into owners' pockets? That's not-for-profit? Go fuck yourself, NFL.
I got to tell you, I'm not a big not-for-profit person. I mean, to the extent that, unless you're like specifically like a charity, I can't think of anything else that should be outside.
Exactly.
Yeah, everybody else has to pay shitty taxes.
Right.
You know,
churches, political organizations, whatever. Fuck it. Pay your taxes.
Pay it. They got so much money. Jesus.
Freedom of religion doesn't mean freedom from taxes.
Yeah. even though it's chock full of stories of render unto Caesar.
Yeah, whatever. Everyone knows that I support the right of religion in this country and you could choose to worship whatever you want or not worship. I don't give a shit. But even for the worshiping, to claim that taxes are church are tax exempt for some reason, that's bullshit.
I know.
The Catholic Church needs to be tax exempt. Like the temples need to be tax exempt. The mosques need to be. Why? Why? That's nonsense. Okay, pay your taxes. Whatever. And if you had a flat tax, you wouldn't have to think about it too much either.
Well, that's my thing. I've been pushing the flat tax since the 80s.
Right. but the thing to keep in mind here is when you look at these situations, you don't blame the free market. You don't blame the people who are cutting a living, because you know why? If the government has loopholes, you'd be an idiot not to take advantage of them. Right? It's not your fault that the government doesn't want to tax the NFL.
Yeah.
It's not the NFL's fault. Why would the NFL be like, no, you're offering us not-for-profit, we're going to be good and not take it.
There's 39%.
Like, yeah. What are you, fucking out of your mind?
Yeah.
Of course you're going to take advantage of it. It's the government's fault for offering it or for having a loophole that allows it. Okay.
And year after year after year, it doesn't change and nobody challenges it.
Yeah. So fuck Congress, fuck the FCC,
the IRS,
and fuck all you cocksuckers that don't like the free market because you're afraid of what the market will bring about.
And fuck all the players out there who are being violent. Could you please stop?
You're ruining it for everybody.
You're ruining it for everybody. I want to watch like the games tomorrow. And I can't, you know, it's annoying enough. They're doing end zone dances and stupid
things. Oh, I love that shit now. I used to hate it, but I love it.
Oh, stop.
Dance all you want.
Oh, stop.
Dion that shit up. High-step that shit into the end zone, Larry.
That's the worst. Oh, please. That is the worst thing in the world.
I want to see dancing. I want to see holding the ball up. I want to see high-stepping.
You're a jump the room racist.
I want to see. Fuck the no fun league. I want to see fun, man.
You want to see fun? Go to an Ebola concert.
Put your cock back in your pants. I don't want to see fun that much.
More hand signals.
Oh! All right, Judah Lyriam, let's get to the final point here that I want to talk about that was the major thing.
You didn't pimp the show.
I'll do that at the end. Jesus Christ. You are a pimp, aren't you?
Hey, watch your language.
You should show up wearing a big purple hat, high-heeled hoop, and one of those fucking ostrich feathers in your hat.
Well, pimping ain't easy.
Bitch.
You're the bitch. If I'm the pimp, you're the
you
bitch.
You fucking hoe. Slap that ass, nigga. But anyway, the thing I want to talk about is the Secret boop Service. Boop. And now, you heard about the fence jumper at the White House, right? That was a couple weeks ago. Apparently, this guy just decided one day to jump the fence in Washington, D.C., around the White House. He booked it across the lawn.
Nice.
And we were told that he basically made it halfway up the lawn. That was the initial story, that he made it halfway up the lawn before he was subdued, right?
But there's more.
Yeah. But then we find out that during his indictment, which is when, like, the Secret Service and the government pressed the charges, that the guy actually made it, like, deep into the White House.
Yeah, he's strolling
around. He made it almost as far as the East Room. And Judah Lyriam, now we have these congressional hearings led by one of my favorite buddies now, Daryl Issa.
Daryl Issa. Yeah.
That fucking guy is a bulldog.
He's
did you see him grilling the head of the Secret Service? Like, I mean, basically,
I saw him do the IRS thing.
Oh, yeah, he did that, too. But, I mean, he was on the head of but anyway, we find out that this guy books across the lawn, manages to get through the opening, the door of the White House, basically bum rushed and bull rushed this one female Secret Service agent who had no shot of stopping him. Like, physically, he just literally picked her up and threw her out of the way. And then he makes it to a room where the president allegedly wasn't too far away from what I understand. Like, he didn't get within sight of the president. And supposedly it was an off-duty Secret Service guy that ended up tackling him somehow and held him there until reinforcements arrived.
Right.
Now, there's a whole lot of shit wrong with this. Now, as a result of this, too, the head of the Secret Service, this woman, had to resign. You know, like, the same day as the hearing, she resigned. Because what came out was so embarrassing and so ridiculous that there was no way she could keep her job, even if it wasn't her fault. And Judah Lyriam, did you think it would be that easy to breach the White House?
No, actually. You know what's terrible? This reminds me at the beginning of the Obama administration when they had those two party crashers.
Yeah.
That stupid couple showed up and they walked right into the party.
Right.
Were hanging out taking photos with people. And this is bad for two reasons. Number one, how could you possibly get that far in? And,
right. Without, like, being shot.
And nobody's approaching you. Nobody's stopping you. That's, I mean, what is that? What message is that even sent to, like, terrorists and people?
Well, that was my main concern,
who are up to no good. Like, they must, you know, like, clearly the security is a joke. So now the problem is, now it'll be ramped up and it'll be like crazy Nazi control for like a couple
of weeks. We would hope.
For the next couple of weeks. And then it'll taper off again. But the Secret Service already has got its own problems with their agents going to hookers in other countries and all that stuff that they got into trouble for already.
Right.
Now they're not even doing their basic, simple job properly of protecting the president.
Which is ridiculous because, to your point, what if that guy had a bomb vest on?
Yeah.
And it's, by the way, and this is actually an issue where I think both left and right, liberals and conservatives or whatever, have joined together on, honestly, because what if the guy had a bomb? That's not like a crazy idea, by the way. What if he was wearing a vest like those guys in Israel, like the Hamas or the Al-Qaeda? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, that guy could have been wearing a bomb vest. As soon as he got inside, he could have detonated it. Who knows what the fuck would have happened?
Right?
We're just lucky this guy was crazy, but not in an ISIS crazy way, just a regular crazy way. You know what I mean? But Judah Lyriam, this reminds me a little of 9/11. Like, do you remember, like, right after 9/11 happened, everybody was saying, but I thought there were always, like, guys with Stinger missiles on the rooftop of the Pentagon and the White House to shoot down rogue planes. Remember how we all said, like, we thought that was part of the security and shit.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that there was a secret underground complex that everyone could go to in terms of emergency and shit.
Yeah.
But that didn't work.
Turns out it's not.
What happened to all the F-16s that should have shot down those planes before they hit? That wasn't in play. Like, in other words, our perception, and again, it goes back to the basic premise of government incompetence, in my opinion. Like, we found out after 9/11 that none of that shit was in place.
Right.
Right? And now, if I had asked you before this incident with the fence jumper, hey, Judo Larry M., do you think there's some button somewhere that someone presses that immediately locks every door in the White House?
Yeah.
That shuts every door automatically and locks it up.
Steel things come down over the window.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what the woman in the Secret Service testified? There is no such button.
Yeah.
That the door that the guy ran through had to be manually locked by someone.
Yeah.
So if the guy who was supposed to lock the door was taking a shit or got shot or had a heart attack, there's no way to lock that door.
He stepped into like another room to use his cell phone to speak to his wife.
Right? So that's like the first thing. I think they call those crash buttons, you know, where you press a button and everything locks down. There was no such button at the White House. Like, to me, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Right? Secondly, how did the guy make it across the lawn?
Yeah.
Because I don't care how fast he is. That must have taken 10, 15 seconds.
Well,
you know, it's
maybe
like...
Maybe I didn't get a look at this guy. Maybe he's Hispanic and they just thought he was a gardener. All
right, stop it. Good one. Yeah, but, like, I mean, to me, aside from the fact that he made it that far...
Yeah, it's terrible.
I think it's more frightening that he exposed how little security there is.
Yeah, the laxness of it, yeah.
And then the fact that... And I'm sure this has to do with some sort of diversity fucking initiative. Why is a woman in a position to where she physically has to tackle somebody getting overwhelmed? Like, I don't give a fuck who you are, man or woman. If some fucking guy is bum-rushing the White House or bum-rushing the president, I don't want, for the sake of diversity, having some 5'4" broad there just because she's a woman. I want a fucking moose there. I want a bull there.
Yeah, I want Ray Rice there.
Yeah.
Take that, bitch.
I want some terrorists to come in and Ray Rice just to drop him with a quick left.
Right. But don't you agree? Like, where was absolutely. The physicality there?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, even if this guy was a huge dude.
Or she could have gotten to her gun in time.
Or gotten to her gun.
Or shoot him, yeah.
Or taken out one of those, what are they, SIPOs? Those collapsible clubs or whatever. Whatever the fuck they got. Why didn't any of it come into play? Is it because they were afraid of being called racist or some shit? I don't know. Like, because of all this diversity and PC nonsense, I have no idea of determining why and how this fucker made it from the street to the inside of the White House without having a finger put on him. Without him being shot in the fucking head, for God's sake.
And nobody noticed him.
Well, until he ran into the house.
No, but that's what I mean. The moment you're like climbing the fence to get over it, why isn't somebody like, hey, there's some asshole climbing the fence?
Like, to some extent, why isn't it an electric fence? You know what I mean? Like, why aren't there fucking guard dogs running the perimeter, like, ready to chew somebody's ass off? You and I got stuck in Pennsylvania. We tried to hop the fence into that factory, and we had 20 bulldogs chomping on our ass.
Yeah. And you know what the worst, what I was thinking about? This happened to me last summer. You know, my little walking I do for exercise. I was listening to some music, and I was walking down near the World Trade Center, and I have to admit, I kind of lost track of where I was going. And I walked off one of the sidewalks into, like, a security area, where some of the cops hang out, and you know, you can see that it's closed off to the public.
Right, it's closed
off.
But
I wasn't paying really very close attention. I certainly didn't do it deliberately. And I started walking, and all of a sudden, this cop just came right up to me. He was all over. He's like, "Where are you going? What are you doing?"
Right.
I went, "Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention." He goes, "Get out of here." I said, like, how is it like a sight like that? And I got caught in 2 seconds.
Right.
This guy makes it into the White.
But Larry, you're a security professional.
Yes,
if you're guarding someone, is there any way someone can run 100 yards and get to your client, without that fucking guy being taken out?
No, absolutely not. But that's what I was saying before about the fence. There has to be layers of protection, and there have to be eyes on all entryways, and there have to be people available at those places to stop any intrusion.
Right.
So, but I mean, the moment this guy... was over the fence. That's insane right there.
But
how does a human being get over that fence and not nobody saw him? Then he made his way across the lawn like he's running for a touchdown.
But you and I know that's not a short, like, that's not a 10-foot sprint.
No,
he did.
Not at all. It's a big thing.
So I'm saying there must have been at least like 15, 20, 30, 60 seconds where that guy was out of the open running.
Yes.
And for him, it's just mind-boggling to be like, look, Larry, I'll say this again. And people are going to say, you're a fucking misogynist. But let's face facts, people, all right? Men are stronger than women, on average, okay? We're not saying that every man can defeat every woman. I'm not saying that. But on average, okay? Larry here, my friend Larry here, Judo Larry M., he's not a big guy. What are you, like 5'6", 5'7"?
5'7".
5'7". He's not a big, fat fuck like me. He's not going to intimidate someone with his size. But if you bum rush him, the guy will have you tied up in a pretzel in about 30 seconds. I'm spilling your secrets here, Judo Larry M. But the fucking guy will have you tied up and in a sleeper hold in like about 13 seconds.
Yeah.
All right? So if someone bum rushes him, I don't have to worry about him. If we're walking down the street and someone bum rushes, I don't have to protect him. I know he can handle himself.
Yeah, yeah.
He knows that I can handle myself because I have a big size to me. Now, if you have some broad protecting the president and protecting the perimeter of the White House, if she cannot handle somebody who's simply bum rushing her, literally running straight at her, what the fuck use is she? And I'm not even saying she has to be like a karate expert and shit. Maybe she has to be quick on the draw. You know what I mean? Yeah, get that gun out and shoot him.
There's a lot of people who whiffed here, though.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, but to me, I'm attacking it piece by piece. We already said, like, the fact that this guy hopped the fence and ran. But, like, if you're on the interior, do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're the last circle of defense.
But you can't single her out.
Well, I am singling her out because she's the one who got picked up and thrown aside physically.
Yeah, I know. But again, how does this guy get over the fence?
You're absolutely right.
And nobody, nothing.
And why it wasn't the door locked the second they saw him running?
Exactly.
Why was it? Why isn't there a? Forget
he shouldn't have gotten to her.
Exactly. There's a lot of things. Like, in other words, nothing went right anywhere in this process.
No, not
nothing.
At all.
And the worst part is they've now exposed how weak the security at the White House is. They've exposed. I'm telling you, the second this happened, there are people in ISIS and Al Qaeda figuring out like, who can we have to bum rush with bomb?
Yeah.
Because Americans don't stop nobody. You know, it's like, or whatever accent those fuckers have. My point is, like, now you've exposed this weakness.
Yeah. Well, now it'll be shored up, you know, for sure.
You hope. But I would have thought it was shoring up before now.
It definitely will. In fact, take it from me. I'm a security person. They'll go crazy in the other direction now. Now it's going to be, there'll be 10 guys at every door.
Which is the way it should be.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what the problem is a lot of times with these jobs is nothing ever happens, and it gets very boring. And when people get bored, they get lazy, and they get sloppy, and I think that's just basically what happened here.
Fair enough, but why isn't the technology in place then to back them up?
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Like, that part to me,
the
okay.
The fence and over the lawn thing really troubles me.
What about the closing of the doors? To me, that is so basic that, like, you're telling me that someone has to run to the door, physically shut it and physically turn a knob to lock the door to the White House? Seriously? Like, on my house, I press 5 buttons and the whole house is wired. It's wired for security. A fucking cat runs across my lawn. There's lights and alarms that go off.
Yeah.
Are you trying to tell me the White House? There isn't, like, do you know, maybe it's the movies, but didn't you think there was some control room with 1,000 monitors and people looking at the monitors and, like, little electric beams that if you trip them, automatically shut down the White House?
I know what you mean, but no, what I just assumed is it is a lot of human activity, but I just assume that they, you know, when they're speaking into their sleeves and I just assume that they are very well organized and they've got all the entryways covered and they have eyes on the fences and all that, and that it's layered in such a way that you can't get as far as this guy got. I don't know about the TV rooms and all that. I mean, that might be a little too much Hollywood, but I mean, I definitely think that there's probably some type of little command center. Or
that's what I meant, a command center, yeah.
Something like that, but it is just people doing it.
But
I'm just surprised he got that far.
We all are, and it's a sad day for the U.S., bro. Let me tell you, because even if no terrorist act comes of this, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, well, that's
fucking
what it
embarrassing,
is.
Bro.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right, Judo Larry M. I think we've given the show folks enough show today. I see we're over an hour again.
Yeah.
We used to get in at an hour, exactly.
Yeah, now
like,
now
like we're, broke bitches, and now we constantly go over an hour.
We're doing like a buck ten, a buck
15. All right, and just to make you happy, it's pimping time. Check us out on thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. You can find all the past and current episodes there. You can also check us out on iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker.com, Podomatic.com, SoundCloud.com, Player FM. Basically, anywhere great podcasts are found, you can find The Riot. Just search for That Riot Show. And, of course, don't forget Judo Larry M's favorite, The Riotous Clips. Go to YouTube, type in That Riot Show, and click on The Riotous Clips, and you'll get some interesting tidbits there. Did all that pimping get you hard, Judo Larry M?
It always does.
Nice. All right. Until we see you again next week, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Sneezing M.
Peace.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I just love Sunday morning plumpkins.